You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You've said over and over again that immigrants shouldn't come to this country right now. This isn't the time to come. That message is not being received. Instead, the perception of you that got you elected as a moral, decent man is the reason why a lot of immigrants are coming to this country and entrusting you with unaccompanied minors. How do you resolve that tension? And how are you choosing which families can stay and which can go, given the fact that even though with Title 42, there are some families that are staying? And is there a timeline for when we won't be seeing these overcrowded facilities with run by CPB when it comes to unaccompanied minors?
Well, look, I guess I should be flattered. People are coming because I'm the nice guy. That's the reason why it's happening, that I'm a decent man, or however it's phrased, that, you know, that's why they're coming, because no, Biden's a good guy.
That's Joe Biden earlier today in his press conference and saying, and they certainly didn't come because Trump was a moron, decent guy. And did you hear the reporter? A legitimate type question to there's some flaws to it, but then pandering? You got elected because you're a moral, decent guy. Where the hell is that written? Where does it say he's a moral, decent guy? Now, you might assume that. You might say that. He could be on some areas. I mean, I'm not saying he's a serial killer or anything, but you got elected because you're a moral, decent guy. You think that's why he got elected? How would we know he's moral and decent? He was in the basement most of the time. But the way the press was handling him today is part of the story today with this first news conference. First he's had 65 days into his administration. And, of course, the border issue was one of the issues. And Kate Sullivan, D.C., reported in quoting Biden, "The idea that I'm going to say, which I would never do, if an unaccompanied child ends up at the border, we're just going to let them starve to death and stay on the other side. No previous administration did that either, except Trump, and I'm not going to do it." Well, that I want you to hear in full play as that comes around in part of the interviews that were taking place. Because what happened when that post was put up by Kate Sullivan, James Carafano, who was with us just yesterday, retweeted it and said simply three words: "What a canard." A canard. That basically is the official definition would be an unfounded rumor or story. So I had to use the same canard to say that Biden was elected because he was a moral and decent person. And Biden just said, I wouldn't change anything I've done. I've done everything right at the border. And they're not coming because even I'm a moral and decent guy, it's just that time of year. Let's once again go to a clip of the Biden news conference in response.
Let me say one other thing on this. If you take a look at the number of people who are coming, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of people coming to the border and crossing are being sent back. Thousands, tens of thousands of people who are over 18 years of age and single people, one at a time coming, have been sent home. We're sending back the vast majority of the families that are coming. We're trying to work out now with Mexico their willingness to take more of those families back. But that's what's happening. They're not getting across the border. Mexico is refusing to take them back. They're saying they won't take them back, not all of them. We're in negotiations with the president of Mexico. I think we're going to see that change. They should all be going back. All be going back.
All be going back, but they're not. We're going to carry some of this discussion over in the next segment, because there are a couple other things I want to point out, and also reaction, the reaction that's taking place to Joe Biden in today's news conference, the good and the bad. But I think it should be appalling that Biden says, I'm doing everything right, and I certainly didn't leave kids to starve on the border like Trump did. James Carafano used a big word saying it's a canard, unfounded. I say, it's a lie. Three-letter word, it's a lie. I'll give James credit for using the bigger word. We'll pick up that part of the story on the other side. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and you gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'd like to circle back to immigration, please. You just listed the reasons that people are coming, talking about in-country problems, saying that it happens every year. You blamed the last administration. Sir, I just got back last night from a reporting trip to the border where I met 9-year-old Josel, who walked here from Honduras by himself, along with another little boy. He had that phone number on him, and we were able to call his family. His mother says that she sent her son to this country because she believes that you are not deporting unaccompanied minors like her son. That's why she sent him alone from Honduras. So, sir, you blame the last administration, but is your messaging in saying that these children are and will be allowed to stay in this country and work their way through this process, encouraging families like Josel's to come?
Well, look, the idea that I'm going to say, which I would never do, that if an unaccompanied child ends up at the border, we're just going to let him starve to death and stay on the other side. No previous administration did that either, except Trump.
Yeah, again, I say lie, lie, lie. He was stumped by that question. Well, shouldn't he have been prepared for that one? Shouldn't he have expected that kind of question? He's already saying, of course, I wouldn't apologize for anything I've done with the border. And they're not coming because of me. I'm a nice, moral, decent guy. But this is a normal migration this time of year. That's what he wants you to believe. And that is true as far as when they choose to travel and carry out these caravans. But these caravans started back in November for some of them because they were told if Biden wins, the border will be open. And whether or not they understood that he wouldn't be president until he's actually sworn in, I don't know. But they were going to be there when he is so they can cross the border. And he is responsible. I don't care how many times he ducks and dodges around it, He is responsible for what we have at the border right now. But, of course, what he's done now, it's a slick move. I mean, you got to give him credit. I guess he learned from Slick Willie, being Bill Clinton. Anything that might be too hot to handle, give it to someone else. Pass it off. Yesterday announcing that VP Harris will now be overseeing and be the point person for dealing with the illegal immigration and talking to the triangle of countries, Northern Triangle, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and with Mexico, and trying to figure out all this. Yeah. Because I got other things to do. This is the first news conference the man has given since he took office, 65 days. And earlier I read to you, and I want to share again, that we already had the Washington Post point out to reporters who were going to cover it. Here's a headline piece written by Margaret Sullivan, the Washington Post media columnist, left wing. Says Biden's first news conference is a test for him, but it's a bigger test for White House reporters. She wrote on that showboating press members might worry about not looking as tough on Biden as they were with Trump. And then also added, for the White House press corps, there's a temptation to play in the crowd, to the crowd. That'd be Jim Acosta, accosting Acosta primarily. He's no longer there. No, CNN took him off. I mean, they can't have him still be a White House correspondent and him not go after Biden like he did Trump. So that's why they replaced him for that position. She goes on to say, every TV reporter has to be thinking about that 10-second clip of their question that might be used on Thursday's newscast, establishing them as a star du jour who bravely challenged the president. That's why almost every question from a reporter is a pretty extended question. Probably wears the man out, saying, where did its string start? And then you also have a comment from Rubin with the Post opinion writer Jennifer Rubin, one of the most enthusiastic Democrat boosters on the Post roster, adds, every president must be covered with a critical eye, but the constant bias for drama leads to misleading coverage when the Oval Office inhabitant is not drama prone. You see how they're doing that? It is a different guy. In fact, I saw one tweet come across that, who was it? It was Larry, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. It appeared on a tweet a moment ago. He's one of the normal guys they go to that that is often quoted by the left when they want to get some professor. And he's saying that Biden is not Cicero. He's not going to even play that. He's a better standing person or something to that effect. There's so many things that are coming across now, it's kind of hard to stay on top of it. But I'll give you the rundown, and I want you to know that where the source is, because, again, I'm not going to try to hide that from you. One American News talking about Biden said he stumbles through his first press briefing with vague answers. Well, I've heard a few of them, shared some of them with you in the previous hour. Yeah, stumbling, and, of course, you did hear that pause, like, hello, hello, anybody there? And he finally came around with the answer. And then if you look at Breitbart, which is conservative, headlines, watch live, frail Biden hosts his first press conference as president. Joe goes slow. I guess that's for those of you who can't go very fast with him. And then he speaks for Republicans. Yeah, at one point he does say that, you know, Republicans voted for me. They're all for me. Who told him that? And there are some Republicans that rhinos, Republican in name only. And then he goes on and says at one point, I'm uniting the country, and turns right around. I'm uniting the country, and this is the GOP party is worse than Jim Crow. There's no unification there. NBC news analyst, NBC. Joe sounds, looks tired. That's NBC. They're part of the state-controlled media at this point. Somebody's probably going to get slapped on the wrist for that. Another piece points out that he evades issues on deportations, reference China also. He did apparently make a statement that, yeah, we're going to deal with Korea. You know, North Korea the other day, yesterday, fired a couple ballistic missiles, the first time they've done so since Trump told them don't do that. And it's the first time since Biden's been in office. you didn't hear a lot about yesterday because the state-controlled media said that could be embarrassing to him. Well, it did get raised today. He wants to take credit for everything that's happening at the border. I don't think that's a good idea, Uncle Joe, President Joe, I'm sorry. You don't really want to take credit of that because it's a lot of things there that are not going to be good for you. Now, let's talk about something, and I have not heard this question come up, but again, I've been in the process of trying to do this program for you, preparing for it and then doing it. I don't know if anybody asked a question specifically about gun control and the reference yesterday from the White House spokeswoman who suggested we're going to use everything possible to get gun control legislation passed. We'd like to do it through the legislature. And then hinted, but we also could do it through executive order. Executive order. Declaring certain weapons are illegal, and you have to turn them in. By law, you have to turn them in. And if you don't and you're found with them later, you would be guilty of a crime. They're already talking about using executive order to, quote, control guns in this nation. And, of course, don't forget, and we'll get into more on the guns before we wrap up, because I want you to hear from Don Lemon Fruitcake on something he did, reference gun control, and also something Hunter Biden did. I don't think anybody asked today about Hunter Biden in the laptop. This is the first chance you could ask a man where he's right in front of you. What about your son and that laptop? I don't know if that got asked. I'm going through a lot of this stuff here. I don't see if it did. If it did, great. But he did say, you know, his main thing is I did everything right at the border. And that is a big issue. The others are also a play. By the way, he also said that North Korea is his top foreign policy issue now. What about China? China is a bigger threat than North Korea. And then he ripped the GOP state voting legislation, saying again, makes him look like Jim Crow. Well, we're going to see more reactions coming in from a lot of people. I want to know if somebody asked him specifically, you say they're not coming here because of you and you're not responsible. Riddle me this. What about all those T-shirts many other are wearing trying to come across the border and coming across the border that says, Biden, please let us in, exclamation point. And, of course, in the meantime, we also have efforts to curtail your rights as a voter going forward. The Democrats, once they won Georgia, like Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader now said, if we win Georgia, then we will transform the United States because we hold the Senate, the tie vote with the Vice President, we have the House, and we have the White House. And yesterday, of course, the Senate started dealing with Senate Bill 1. Pretty much parallels H.R. 1, both of them supposedly making elections better and more fair. Here's the analysis by Senator Ted Cruz.
Many people are calling it the Corrupt Politicians Act because what it does is it profoundly corrupts our democratic process. It has the federal government take over all elections. It sets aside virtually all of the state election integrity laws. So, for example, 29 states have voter ID laws. It sets every one of them aside, strikes them all down.
Strikes them all down. They don't really care about the Constitution because, again, they got Joe. If they only get the legislation they want, if they don't get rid of the filibuster, then they will go forward with Joe in an executive order, it appears. Filibuster, of course, requires you have to have 60 votes. Well, they get rid of that, they could go with 51 votes. And they got 50 locked down the Democrats. That includes Bernie Sanders as an independent caucusing with them, and they got VP Harris to be the deciding vote. And we're told by the Democrats, no, what we're doing is trying to make sure there is no fraud in voting. I say, no, what you're trying to do is make it easier for fraud. Again, let's go to the sound of Senator Ted Cruz, Republican, Texas.
It also automatically registers anyone who interacts with the government, anyone who gets a welfare check, anyone who gets a driver's license, anyone who attends a university. That includes millions of illegal immigrants. And what the Democrats want to do is register millions of illegal immigrants to vote illegally. It also would make millions of criminals, of felons, eligible to vote, murderers, rapists, child molesters. And I think the Democrats believe that with millions of illegal immigrants and criminals voting, that will keep Democrats in power. It is profoundly misguided, and it is, I think, the biggest threat to the integrity of our elections we're facing. It's a power grab by the Democrats, yeah. And it's very dangerous.
Very dangerous. And they'll end up, of course, with all those extra votes, making D.C. a state, adding two more senators to their side. They'll make Puerto Rico a state, adding additional. And all those illegals. And the other previous hour, I mentioned that the CEO of Gallup warning President Biden that based on their survey, something like 42 million want to come into the U.S. that live in the Caribbean, Central, South America. Doing a survey saying how many want to leave, then where do you want to go? 42 million say USA. I understand that. Of course, if you listen to the left, there's nothing worth this country that you shouldn't even bother being here. Which, isn't that strange? They don't like this country, but they want more to come in so they can take better control. And then we've got Hunter Biden. A question for Hunter Biden from President Biden today, specifically about a gun felony. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I did not hear any questions today of President Biden regarding Hunter Biden. If they did, they did it while I was busy with you on the air or at some other point. No questions, I guess, about Hunter and any ties to China and the laptop. Maybe. I mean, it might be buried in there, and I'll have to say tomorrow. I said, well, I was mistaken. I didn't get a chance to hear it. But I will bet you money nobody raised a question about Hunter Biden violating federal gun laws. We've got the left decrying constantly, we need more gun control, more gun control. Our answer is enforce the laws you have on the book to start with, such as what happened October 12th, 2018. October the 12th, 2018, there's a firearms transaction record and receipt for a pistol. It was published by Politico, apparently. And the buyer was one Hunter Biden. He bought this gun during a period after he had been discharged from the Naval Reserve because he tested positive for cocaine. The question you're asked, are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any controlled substance? That was October 12, 2018. I say the incident happened after he was discharged. It was 5 years after he'd been discharged from the Navy for testing positive. He and his family had spoken about his history of drug use, but his answer was no. Lying on that form is a felony. Prosecutions are rare, but he flat out lied. So if he got that gun and went on a shooting spree, they would say, we need more gun control, even though it's Hunter Biden. Well, he never should have gotten the gun. And in fact, he was at that time going through a breakup with his wife because he was already seeing his late brother's brother Bo, seeing his widow in a romantic relationship with her and in a divorce with his wife. She found out he had the gun, got it out of the pickup, took it back to the store where he bought it, and threw it in a trash can outside. Along the way, Secret Service is notified that he had a gun. They go to the store owner saying, did Hunter Biden come in here? Let's see your records. And the store owner would not give it to them. Why? Well, because he said, first of all, you're not the one that's supposed to be in charge of this. And he feared they'd cover it up. They'd cover up that a gun was ever bought by Hunter Biden because he obviously lied to get the gun. He did. The store owner did turn the information over to the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco Control because they oversee guns and licenses. So the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, he got it to them. Secret Service now tonight, well, I don't think we ever sent any agents look. I don't know. Evidence there that Hunter Biden lied to get a gun. He didn't do anything with it, but if he'd gone back to his house and shot and killed his estranged wife or others, how would that have been handled? Could they sweep that under the rug as well? And yet what we have right now is the Democrats out to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. Oh, they're working hard at it. They have a plan. You're not going to like it. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It is time for Congress to act and stop with the false choices. This is not about getting rid of the Second Amendment. It's simply about saying we need reasonable gun safety laws.
The bill is passed.
The House has passed bills to expand background checks to include those between private individuals, on the internet, or at gun shows. Also extending the amount of time the FBI has to vet people flagged by the instant check system. The Senate Republican leader says mental health must be addressed.
The focus ought to be on identifying people in advance who have the capacity and the interest in carrying out these atrocious attacks.
The Senate Majority Leader insists this time this effort will be different.
A Democratic majority in the Senate is going to act. I have committed to put legislation to expand background checks on the floor of the Senate.
Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz suggests the other side is too busy playing political games on the gun issue.
We see Democrats targeting law-abiding citizens. What actually works is targeting the bad guys.
Those are the words, of course, at the closing of Senator Ted Cruz. That was a Fox News report dealing with the House-passed gun control legislation. And now we'll see how it gets handled in the Senate. It does extend background checks. But I didn't hear them say that it would have kept Hunter Biden from getting a weapon, as we were talking about the preceding event and segment. But actually, that law is already there. If you're involved in drugs, a user, or convicted, or anything of that nature, you are not allowed to buy one. But he did. So the laws that are there not being properly enforced. So every time there's a tragedy, and it is a tragedy of a shooting, for whatever reason, you have the left rush forward. Well, we need more gun control. We need more gun control. They cannot wait to politicize and do it even before the bodies are prepared at the funeral home. They don't waste any time. And, of course, they're always looking to blame white males, and they're trying to blame it on race and hate like they did with the Atlanta shootings at the massage parlors. They were Asian massage parlors. A white guy did the shooting, so obviously it's a hate crime. Then, of course, the media picks it up and runs with it. That was not the fact. Not the fact at all. He told police, and police said they verified it's his issue, and through several other sources, he was addicted to sex, and he was going to the massage parlors. And as I said, I thought you just went there for a massage. I didn't know this stuff. This whole news, I didn't know this stuff. Apparently he did, and he felt bad about it, and then he went back to kill the people that massaged him. So it had nothing to do with the fact they were Asian. And then when the shooting went down in Boulder, Colorado the other day, a white guy, had to be a white guy because they see them walking a guy out in handcuffs, and the images, if it's a white guy, they're not going to shoot him down. They're going to handcuff him and bring him out. Well, first of all, he's in his underwear only because that coward, after shooting innocent people, had no chance, stripped himself of clothing except for his underwear and saying, I have no clothes. I surrender. And it was not a white guy. It was a 21-year-old Syrian, born in Syria, lived here most of his life. They don't know if it's a jihadist action on his part or not. But again, it's another reason to rush forward with gun control. Nicholas Kristof is an opinion writer for the New York Times. And he was digging into this issue about guns. He made some interesting things that I do want to make sure we share with you. And it begins with a simple fact that we talked about before. Title, America has more guns than any other country. That's correct. We have something like 300 million guns, basically one for every citizen. And we stand out for the gun death rates. On the other hand, he points out, Japan has less than one gun per 100 people and typically fewer than 10 gun deaths a year. He said, gun enthusiasts often protest. Cars kill as many people as guns, but we don't ban them. And he adds, well, we don't ban cars, but we work hard to regulate them and limit access to them. And then he adds, the liberal approach on gun control is ineffective. Ineffective. Boy, I was glad to see him say that. Frankly, liberal opposition to guns has often been ineffective, sometimes counterproductive. He said, partly because definitions are about cosmetic features like bayonet mounts, and partly that such weapons that they're identifying as assault weapons are used in 2% of the crimes, and is, I think, actually lower than that. And he's looking at some of the issues about gun control that they could do. What are they based on? He said, background checks, 22% of guns are obtained without a background check. Sometimes a person-to-person family member, sometimes a straw purchased, so that person having the gun didn't go through the background check. Sometimes it's stolen. And then protection orders that keep men who are subject to domestic violence should not be able to have guns. I would agree with that. And a ban then under 21. Do you know how many we have in our service, men and women, under the age of 21? They carry automatic rifles, not a look-alike. They carry automatic rifles. And the safe storage. Well, yeah, you're going to have a gun around your house. You should have a special place, especially if you have children in there. And then ammunition checks. They want ammunition checks. They say it'd be a one-time just to verify that you bought ammunition. Yeah, if you have the gun, you don't have any ammunition. It doesn't do any good, does it? So you got to do it. And then also research smart guns. These are the guns that will only operate like with your phone. It's got to be your fingerprint or you have to enter a code. Yeah, I can see trying to do that when you got somebody coming at you. But, of course, it keeps anyone else from taking the gun and using it. And these accidental deaths, that's the other thing. They often draw all of the gun violence into one, as if it's all homicide. It's not. They will give you numbers like 40,000 plus that are gun deaths. But the fact is, out of that number, you're really looking about only a third are homicide. The rest fall in either suicide or accident. So tightening gun laws would lower the homicide rates? He even acknowledges not necessarily, although he says it did in the state of Missouri when they tightened them. That's his statement. And, of course, the training. Yeah, you should have training. Well, here comes Don Lemon Fruitcake on CNN. And what he did, referenced gun control and what should be done, went so far over the edge that a former CNN producer contacted the guys, the execs at CNN, said, you got to get Lemon off. He's making offensive and dangerous remarks. Here's a little bit of Don Lemon. Here we go.
So stop playing politics with our lives. And you know what I'm talking about, that crew. You know they're going to continue to play politics with our lives because that is their whole shtick. It's just the same old song and the same old dance while Americans are grieving.
And every time there's a shooting, we play this ridiculous theater where this committee gets together and proposes a bunch of laws that would do nothing to stop these murders. What happens in this committee after every mass shooting is Democrats propose taking away guns from law-abiding citizens.
So, you know what happens after every mass shooting? You know what happens after every mass shooting? Another mass shooting.
As if they're all linked. Do you know what happens after a fatal car wreck on the interstate? There will be another fatal car wreck on the interstate. And another one after that. There's no correlation. It's just that they all happen on the interstate and it's a car wreck. But then Lemon really begins to push the line. Listen to this.
I could go on and on and on. Because it will keep happening until we finally decide to do something. Until we finally decide to say, now is not the time to talk about gun laws and what we need to do to improve the situation. And then, with our short attention spans in this country, something else will happen, and then we move on, and then we're back right here at it another time.
That is so heavy. And he's doing such a good job of selling it, the drama, the pauses. I'm going to give him points for that. Don Lemon Fruitcake, you did well on that. But I want to give you a snippet of something you're going to hear in the next segment. A snippet of something he said that really did have a former CNN employee contacting CNN and say, you got to stop this guy. He's spouting dangerous rhetoric. Here's a snippet. Just listen to this.
Every single one of us is just playing the odds at this point. The odds that in a country of 325 million souls that we won't be the ones who get hit by the next bullets that start flying.
That's a sample. That's a sample of what you're going to hear in the next segment. And that prompted a former CNN producer to contact CNN and say someone at CNN needs to step in. This hyperbole isn't just offensive, it's actually dangerous. Someone's got to muzzle Don Lemon Fruitcake. Well, he didn't call him Don Lemon Fruitcake, but I did, and you know I will. We'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear Don Lemon Fruitcake making the remarks that should have been muzzled. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Every single one of us is just playing the odds at this point. The odds that in a country of 325 million souls that we won't be the ones who get hit by the next bullets that start flying. But with every deadly shooting in this country, the odds get worse and worse. Are you really willing to keep playing those odds? Haven't we learned after this year of pandemic, after a year of loss of life, isolation, mass death of nearly 550,000 Americans, that life is just that precious? If not now, when?
Oh, that pregnant pause again. Don Lemon Fruitcake saying we're playing the odds. Are you willing to keep playing the odds? You're going to be the next one hit by a bullet that starts flying or someone in your family. Yeah, it's way overboard. Way overboard. That's why a former CNN producer reached out to CNN and said, you got to do something about it. Lemon's remarks are offensive and dangerous. When CNN was questioned by another news source about what about this guy calling in, what are you doing, what are you going to do about Don or anything, no comment. No comment. And while Lemon was talking, they put up a lot of numbers behind you that meant to scare everyone. And anyone who thinks that Don Lemon is a journalist, you are lost. Oh, by the way, later in that same party, urged viewers dealing with mental health issues to call the National Suicide Prevention Line. And one of those commenting on what he did, he said that was totally offensive. Someone who struggled with depression, suicide as I am, it's offensive for Don to so callously say in his statement or display on the screen, every single one of us is playing the odds at this point, and then say, maybe you need to call the National Suicide Prevention Line. Said it's absolutely insulting. You think he's going to be taken off or disciplined? Don't hold your breath. Listen, when it comes to the guns, you're allowed to say anything. And you want another example? Sherman, Jake Sherman, is an MSNBC commentator, former political journalist. He jumped on the Twitter the other day to said one of the ironies of the COVID lockdowns, number of mass shootings went down, although shootings and gun violence overall went up. But as we opened, there have been two mass shootings in 6 days. He went on to say, activists have pointed out that in Georgia, it's easier to buy a gun than it is to register to vote. That's a lie. That's a flat-out lie, and others caught him on it. Townhall.com associate editor said, people believe this kind of crap because a blue check mark said it. Since when do you need to fill out a form, pay a fee, go through a background check to vote? You're gaslighting. Another one said it's disinformation. Still another one said it's a silly comparison. And I would add, I don't think I've ever been able to simply buy a gun through the mail without giving any kind of information. And I haven't suddenly have a gun manufacturer mail me a gun to see if I want to use it, as I might get a ballot mailed to me to see if I want to use it. But the facts don't matter to this group if they can twist them the way they want, because your facts don't exist. Do you remember what Donald Trump, when he's talking early in the COVID thing, talking about things we could do, he said maybe some light could help kill it. And he got mocked immediately. Well, actually, there were studies underway, ultraviolet light, light of different rays, to see if it would kill COVID if it's on a surface. And he also mentioned at one point, he said, you know, I see disinfectant. I mean, that seems to knock out things pretty fast. He said, maybe it's something like that, injection inside, almost a cleaning. At no point did he tell you to do it, not one time. And yet you will hear them constantly say Trump floated the idea of people injecting themselves with bleach. He never said that. Never. He never said infect yourself, or rather inject yourself with bleach to deal with COVID. But again, they didn't like the guy, and they figured, you know, most of the people are going to see us go after them, and they're going to believe that what we say. And you do know the numbers for CNN and NNN and MSNBC and all the rest of them. They are way in the toilet because they don't have Trump to attack anymore. And I should also remind you that in 2016, Barack Obama said it's easier for a teenager to buy a Glock than get his hands on a computer or even a book. And everybody just accepted that as a fact. He might be able to get a Glock easy, but he could get a book a hell of a lot easier, so don't make that up. But then, who's calling out Biden on what he did? Biden yesterday was at a hospital, cancer hospital in Ohio. And he's saying, you know, dogs may help cure cancer. It's not a joke. No. They often use dogs sometimes. They train them to maybe detect cancer in someone, sniffing their legs or body, that they something given off that the dog can pick up that might say, we need to look at you for cancer. But dogs curing cancer? I don't think so. They're not going to cure cancer. Have you seen the state-controlled media attack him on that? No, of course not. As always, we appreciate you joining us. Got a big guest coming tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.